So let's all write to Isaiah. It's in the Hebrew Bible. Isaiah 43, 1 through 7. You can find that in your pew Bible if you'd pull that out on page 631 in the Hebrew Bible. Hear these words of security. But now, thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away, and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The New Testament lesson today comes from Acts. And if you haven't read Acts, Acts is an amazing book. Chapters 8, verses 14 to 17. You can find that on page 118 in your New Testament. Hear these words. Oh, and by the way, I'm reading from the Holman Christian Study Bible. When the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaritans have welcomed God's message, they sent Peter and John to them. After they went down there, they prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For he had not yet come down on any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. The word of God for the people of God.
Our gospel reading today comes from the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Luke. Luke chapter 3, verses 15 through 17, and then following with 21 and 22. As you recall, in the church's schizophrenia, Jesus was born. Jesus was 12 years old at the temple, and Jesus was back in the house being visited last week by the three magi, and now Jesus is 30 years old. And we're going back to the story that we heard several times through Advent, that story being the tale of John the Baptist. So with all that in your head, we turn to Luke 3:15. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John the Baptist, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized, and he was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And I know it's not our usual pattern, but today is not a usual day. Let me ask you to take your hymnal and turn in it to number 253. It's not yet another song, but there are sprinkled in our hymnal some wonderful prayers. And so at 253, you'll find a prayer especially appropriate for today. So let us pray together. Father in heaven, at the baptism of Jesus in the River Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved Son and anointed him with the Holy Spirit. Grant that all who are baptized into his name may keep the covenant they have made and boldly confess him as Lord and Savior, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns one God in glory everlasting. Amen. Baptism marks a change in the life of everyone who has accepted this sacrament. After Jesus was baptized and he received the affirmation of God the Father, his life took a radical new direction. And God promises to every one of us here this morning a similar radical new meaning for our lives, if we will simply accept the true significance of our baptism. Who among us here was baptized as a little baby? How many of us? Okay. And then perhaps how many of you were then confirmed as a young adult, as a teenager? Did you have confirmation? Okay. And who of you were baptized as a consenting adult, a believer's baptism? Very good. Well, they're all right. That's all good stuff. And I hope that all of you will listen closely to what I'm about to share. But if there are any among us here, any people who have not yet been baptized, then I pray that you will listen with especially keen interest. And I hope that you will talk to me after the service to explore the promise of your own baptism. For Jesus, baptism was a major milestone in his life, and it should be a major milestone for each of us. When Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River, that scene that is depicted somewhat romantically on your bulletin cover, you should have heard that we had a field day in the Bible study group on Thursday night. All those biblical scholars, many of which are behind me, picking fault with this woodcutting. It's not valid. A lot of things are wrong about that. But it's a nice, it probably makes you feel good, Jesus being baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River. Anyway, when this happened, Jesus' life was then separated into two parts. It was pre-baptism and post-baptism. Before he was baptized, Jesus was mostly concerned with studying the Bible and with attending services in the temple. He was growing up in his own family. He was learning the trade of carpentry from his earthly father. In short, pre-baptism, Jesus was concerned mostly with himself, and rightly so. Once he was baptized, he understood his true calling in life, and he immediately began his ministry among the people. From that point on, Jesus was concerned with sharing God's kingdom with all of those who would listen. Now, in between those radical different times of his life were the pivotal events that happened today in our reading from Luke. Jesus had already been baptized, and if we read between the lines, we recognize that Jesus was alone in the wilderness praying. And as he was praying, the heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven saying, You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. And with that, he began his adult ministry. Now, I want you to think about your own life from this same perspective. I want to think about your life pre-baptism and post-baptism. Or if you were baptized as a little baby, maybe that should be pre-confirmation, post-confirmation. And if you throw all of that out, maybe more to the point, I want you to think about your life before this moment and what your life can be after this moment. Because Jesus is offering to each of us a radical new direction for our lives, just as he himself experienced. There are so many ways to visualize and to understand the meaning of baptism. We spoke for almost 45 minutes on Thursday night at the Bible study of all the images of baptism and what it meant. But I want us to focus our collective thoughts, and I want you to think about baptism in this way. Once you are baptized, your life focus changes from ownership into stewardship. You are baptized into stewardship. Now, just as in the case of Jesus, before we fully accept God's pull on our lives, we're generally focused on ourselves. Our lives are centered around what I'm calling today ownership. In the strict dictionary definition, ownership is the state or fact of being an owner, legal rights of possession, proprietorship. And a proprietor is a person who has the exclusive rights or title to something, an owner, as of real property. Think about, if it's been a little while, think about what it felt like to be a young person. When you were, or when you are, many of us have the perspective that it's my body, and it's my life, and I will darn well do whatever I please. Does that sound familiar? I'm looking out for number one, is the perspective sometimes when we're young people. But after we're baptized, after we're confirmed, our lives should take on a vastly different perspective. We're focused more on God's kingdom and God's will as we commit ourselves in the Lord's Prayer. Our lives should become centered around helping other people and serving God and serving God's church. We are baptized into stewardship. Stewardship is the state of being a steward. And if you read the dictionary, a steward is a person who manages another person's property or financial affairs. And if you think about that definition theologically, vis-a-vis God, then we begin to realize that everything we are and everything we have, everything is a gift from God. All of our things, all of our money, all of our family, our cars, our computers, our TVs, our very lives belong to God. And we begin to understand from this new perspective that in order to respond to God's grace, to God's unconditional love, that we ought to offer back to God what is already God's in the first place. We ought to serve God's people, to serve God's church, to serve God's kingdom. And once you internalize this reality, your life can take on new meaning and new freedom and new joy. Once you claim your true identity as a child of God, your life can be radically different. You can be fully transformed by the Spirit of God. My brothers and sisters, we are not baptized into ownership, but rather we are baptized into stewardship. I want you to do something, not for me, but for yourselves. Trust me and close your eyes. And I want you to listen to these words of Scripture, because these words are actually God speaking directly to you. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name because you are mine. Do not fear, for I am with you. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my child, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." My brothers and sisters, that is the voice of God. Amen.